It's early. It's not that early. But this is the news, according to me. Good morning, folks. It is 7:17. Just turned 7:17. Just saw it flip over there. 7:17. The 16th day of June, Thursday, 2022. And I am here in my home, in the studio of my home studio. I am not at the international headquarters this morning. I might be a little bit later on. Planning on going there today, so at some point. Whole lot of work to do there. I've been neglecting the facility a little bit. Lots of things need to be done there. The yard needs to be mowed. Of course, the yard of my house needs to be mowed as well. We had some trees come down. We had a major storm come through here, at least thunderstorms, a couple weeks ago. Or last week. Yeah, last week. Of course, while I was gone. Stuff like this always happens while I'm gone. And we had a tree partially come down. Some limbs came down. Some large limbs came down. We got some dead trees in our yard. And I've been meaning to get those taken down and gotten taken care of. But, of course, that costs money. And I'm trying to use the profits that I make from this show. That was hard to swallow. The profits that I make from this show don't even pay for what's in my cup this morning. And what's in my cup is, there's some sugar in there. Let's just put it that way. There usually is some kind of sugar, unless it's just water. I don't usually drink sugar water. However, my tea is pretty much just sugar water. I have some hot tea this morning. I don't usually make hot tea. It's just Lipton tea. I usually don't do this too much anymore, just because I have a tendency to oversweeten it. Not that that's a bad thing in terms of taste. It's just I know it's not good for me. And whatever benefits tea might have, I'd probably be better off drinking coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I have this Lipton tea. It's not real strong, but there's some sugar in there, and then I got honey in there as well, because you know honey's good for you, supposedly. I'm taking their word for it on that one. And then you've got a little bit of... Now, one thing I know that I've got in there that's good for me is about a teaspoon of liquefied coconut oil. From what I understand, it's kind of good for you. My own personal experimentation, at least for me... Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor or a CPA. I'm not an epidemiologist. Or a psychologist. I'm not a professional of any kind other than a guy with a microphone who can operate flips and switches. And so I just flip switches and dials and levers. And it's all switches, levers, and dials. We just said it. One of the jobs I used to have was it's just all switches, levers, and dials. That's all it is. And... I got this. Now, something is on the bottom of my cup because it's sticking to my... I've got this little napkin that I put my drink on so it doesn't get messy. And every time I pick up my cup now, it's picking up the napkin. But I can't feel anything. It must be honey or something on the bottom of my cup. Probably somehow got... Honey goes everywhere. Yep. Oh, nope. I fixed it. Whatever happened there. So, resolved, whatever, great, avoided, what, I don't know what they call that. My blood work has always been, I've always been a little high on the bad cholesterol and a little low on the good cholesterol. But that's whatever's normal for me. I was told by my doctors, whatever's normal for me. Now, this is even when I was extremely healthy and exercising a lot back in the day. I was still that way. And the new norm now is doctors who are a little bit more out there in regard to their understanding of what is healthy will tell you that whatever your normal is, that's probably normal. Whatever your healthy normal is. And it's always been, pretty much the same. But however, when I started taking a little bit of that, it actually did, I saw a change. Good cholesterol came up and my bad cholesterol went down a little bit when I started drinking liquefied coconut oil on a regular basis. Now, the reason I started drinking it, I was putting it in my tea, was because I'm one of the things, my main business that I do personally, this is my own business that I do. It's not work for somebody else that I do, like on a regular job kind of work, is voiceover work. So I do a lot of, I read scripts and I read stuff. I did a, recently was on, got into a hotel and I, it's kind of interesting. I'm laying there and there's this commercial on. Now I don't do a lot of commercials. I do some things for, like, I did some stuff for some children's hospitals and stuff like that. I've done, some advertisements for radio and some advertisements for television. Most of it's regional stuff, not national. Now I did, this one advertisement for it's a cancer therapy drug of some, I don't even know what it does. If I said the name of it, you'd probably, if you've had any experience around somebody who had cancer, you probably have heard of this drug. A lot of people have taken it. Let's just say it starts with a K, ends with a Truda, and I don't know what it does. So the this advertisement came on for this particular pharmaceutical drug. And I thought, I did that commercial, or did a commercial like that. And I've heard these commercials before, and I wasn't on them. My voice wasn't on them. So they must have several different marketing firms doing different things in different regions. And this was on Headline News. I happened to be listening to. Now, HLN on cable, if you don't know, is not always CNN. HLN, most of the day, typically, is Forensic Files and who did it and how did it happen and all this kind of stuff. It's all kinds of detective type shows, like that kind of stuff. Stories about like Gold State Killer, whatever it was. It's the serial killer stuff and all the stuff that happens with Forensic Files, like all the forensics that they do to discover who did it kind of stuff. I'm fascinated by those kinds of things. I wanted to be a detective when I was in a younger state. And I actually took an online, that was kind of an online course type thing where you're supposed to be certified as a detective. I don't know how that works. You can be a detective. You can actually open up a detective agency without having any police background whatsoever, and no training, nothing. You just call yourself a detective. What you are is you're a researcher that gets paid to do research. And there's different levels of this. Now, some states have an actual detective license that you can apply for. Some places have a test you have to take. Some people have to be, now if you're former law enforcement, a lot of former law enforcement goes into this kind of thing. It is not what you think. It is not likely what they show you on television. Like the detective shows. You're not out there wearing wearing your sunglasses and have a hat on and get your, that's not what, now some of it is. I did a couple of deals where I had some surveillance stuff I did. And I had some interesting things where I, found a, well, along with my detective agency, I had a little spy shop. So I had a guy pull in one day and he said, I think my wife's tracking me. Went out and looked. He said, I've looked all over my car. I can't find anything. I spent about 5 seconds looking and I found a tracker on his car. So, yep, there it is. He was kind of upset. He didn't pay me for it, but he ran off. I didn't expect him to. He was a little bit upset at the time, so I didn't want to push him any further. Hey, that'll be $10. So, he didn't give me a tip for it. And it was raining outside. I did it. It's kind of good. So now I'm kind of feeling for his wife now at this point. So, no, I had this little job. No, I had another job where this is a crazy story. I got to tell this story. This is a crazy one. I had this guy who I knew through a I was in martial arts at the time, and so I was doing this thing where I was training, and this guy who was a friend of. He's a son. He's a friend of a friend. Son is his son. He was involved in martial arts as well. So he was his. I guess it was a live-in girlfriend. They weren't married. And she. I don't know if it was her. I guess it was her house. I guess. And because he had just moved out, and he'd. Well, anyway, long story short, he was kind of threatening to leave anyway. He'd kind of had it with her, and she was kind of a psycho. So, which, you know, this kind of proves it right here, that she started writing these notes, putting them on her car, about somebody was stalking her and threatening to kill her. They slashed her tires, or she slashed her tires and said it was somebody else. This whole thing, and she was playing this thing like a fiddle. I mean, she was this whole situation. She was making it sound like this guy was after. Well, this guy fell for it initially. Figured out that, you know, he was this person, this stalker that she apparently had. You know, she'd go off to Walmart. And she'd come out to her car, and there was this notes on her car. I know where you are. I'm tracking everything you're doing. And then at one point there was, she actually flattened her tires. She was going all out on this thing. I don't know if you know it or not, but slashing a tire requires quite a bit of tenacity. And you have to have sharp objects to do that. This lady's running around doing this kind of stuff. And... So he had us put her under surveillance for a while to see who this guy was that was following her. And he would let us know, you know, where she was going and stuff, and we'd followed her to the library one time, videotaped the whole thing. She made it real well known that she was going to the library on social media and stuff, I guess. She gets there, she leaves, nothing happens. Now, when she left, we were supposed to follow her from the library, and she was driving like she was trying to get away from us. I don't know what that was all about. She didn't know what vehicle I was in. She had no idea. In fact, I don't think she knew she was being surveilled. I actually don't believe she knew she was being surveilled at that time. And we videoed everything. We videotaped everything. Very strange, very weird situation. And of course, now you have to keep in mind this whole time, she's the one concocting this whole thing. At one point, this whole thing backfired on her because we discovered that she was the one doing it. And of course, she shows up at her house one day after work, and he's gone. He just moved out. So this is a wacky, crazy story. There you go. That's the kind of wacky, crazy people we got out there, folks. Speaking of wacky, crazy people, the January 6th Commission. Oh, my. How, how crazy do you have to be? We have I think we have a problem here. Now, I know, you know, Project Veritas, they posted this little thing on YouTube the other day. I think it was today. Let's see if I can find it here. I don't necessarily see it. I don't see some of these things on my computer that I usually see on my phone. Sometimes Project Veritas will post things. Yeah, I don't see it. Oh, I wanted to see this. Counterpunch with Trevor Loudon. He doesn't show up on YouTube very often. I think he's a part of Epic Times. Delving into one of America's most dangerous communist groups. He really goes after They're called the Freedom Road Socialists. I didn't get a chance to see this. I wanted to watch this. It's like a trailer for his main show. He can't really be on YouTube because they simply will censor him. I think he's been censored several times. He really goes after communists. Like he'll take Pete Buttigieg's background, for example. Nobody suspects this kind of stuff, and he'll look into his father's life and his parents and that kind of thing, and find out all this stuff about the kind of radical leftists they are. And he won't. He just calls socialism for what it is. It's communism, and it is hand in hand. It is a democratic socialism is just a nice way of saying you're a communist. Now, the January 6th Commission has been just completely, almost, the curtain has almost been pulled back, and we can see the man behind the curtain kind of thing. But MSNBC and CNN still continue to push the narrative. There was a lady. This is one of the best interviews I've heard. Brandon Tatum, Officer Tatum, on YouTube. He played this clip. I think it was yesterday. It was either a clip he posted yesterday or he posted it the day before, and I just happened to hear it yesterday. But he has this clip of these two guys and confronting this lady out, and they're talking, they're just like conducting a street interview, I guess, or whatever they're talking about. And this guy is asking this other lady about January 6th, and she's going on about how the president tried to overthrow the government. And he said, first it started off with just the president broke the law. And she said, what law did he break? Well, he tried to overthrow the government. Okay, this is a sitting president trying to overthrow the government. This is what she's claiming. Now, and this, of course, that is part of the premise. The premise is that he tried to stay in office and he tried to, reverse the election results. Now, he wasn't trying to reverse the election results so much as he was trying to get to the corruption in the election. Now, of course, we're just now starting to peel back that onion a little bit. 2,000 mules. If you found enough evidence that there was hanky-panky shenanigans, let's call it what it is, treasonous, felonious activity accomplished by somebody behind the scenes, not just individuals doing this stuff. These mules did not just act on their own. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go out and we're just going to go out and do this. This was just all grassroots stuff. No, there's people high up in this thing paying for this stuff. They were paying them to do this. The reason they had their phones with them, they could be pinged, was because they were driving around and they would get to a Dropbox, show the ballots that they were about to stuff in the box, and take a picture of it. That's how they got paid. They had to take that picture back and they would get paid that way. Now, this is the kind of stuff that's happening now. Now in Arizona, they had a council, commission, whatever. True the Vote was there and explained this whole process. There are some people who are livid on the, I guess it's the state election board. I'm not sure what it, if it's that or if it's just the state representatives. They are livid. Some of them were like, they're not going to be happy until these people are put in prison. That was the reaction of some of them. As well it should be. I think I played an audio of one older lady, probably my age. She was going off. She was upset. She'd just seen 2,000 mules, and she's basically, somebody better fix this stuff. And she was getting pretty upset. And I think that it so resonated with me that it was like a, I think this is kind of the heart of where the American people are, the people who actually love the country and want to see us remain true to the founders. This is kind of the heart of where I think America really is. And we're tired of this stuff. So this guy was asking her, and of course, he was asking her, well, what crime did he commit? Well, he tried to overthrow the government. In what way? How did he try to overthrow the government? Well, he told those people to go down there and do it. He told them to do it. What did he say? Well, he told them to fight like heck. Well, Bernie Sanders said fight like heck, and Chuck Schumer said fight like heck. There's been several other people he quoted, you know, that have all said fight. We got to fight like heck. But he meant really fight. See, this is the way they've edited this video. They've put this whole narrative together. They've cut out certain parts of what Trump said, just like there's good people on both sides. It's the same thing they've done here. In the video, now keep this in mind. In the video that they showed of Trump's speech on January 6th near the White House, they cut out the part where he says, "You need to, I understand that some of you are going to be down marching down to the Capitol building to make your voices to peacefully and patriotically protest, to make your voices heard." They cut that out. Why would they cut that out? So what else are they cutting out of this other stuff we're not hearing about? All we're hearing is these little clips and seeing different things. And there's been some evidence that some of the video that actually has been shown at the Capitol building, did not even happen on January 6th. It was other riots that took place there. But then there's this Ray Epps guy who happened to be in one of the videos that they showed, because he was right there when the initial breach started happening. He whispered into a kid's ear right before it happened. That kid was one of the ones. That kid ended up on the Fed line on the other side. He ended up on the other side of the line, police line. And nobody was doing anything to him. This has happened. I've seen this happen several times. Now, unfortunately, I have to bring up this guy's name. There was an individual who... let's just say his last name is Jones. He actually would document this stuff when this kind of stuff would happen. When there would be a provocateur in their midst, and people would find out that this one guy got caught. It was really interesting. They're on this police line. There's this one guy. They're there, peacefully protesting. And there's this guy coming up. He's coming up with a mask on. This is before COVID, and he starts throwing rocks and pushing, doing stuff to the police. Then somebody notices this guy's wearing exactly the same kind of boots that the police are. And everybody starts calling this guy out. This guy's a plant. And they started going after the guy. The police grabbed a hold of the guy and dragged him over to their side and protected him. Gee, what a strange twist of events there. And he was whisked off around the corner. Not being dragged. He was running around the corner. They were escorting him. How interesting. This stuff happens. And the provocateurs are among us. Now, the FBI informants that were involved in this whole thing out in Idaho as well is a really creepy show. And, of course, now the news is on there. That was a great soundbite for it. And then they got these phony, there's like 31 of them or 30 some of them. They got these phony mug shots of these guys. They don't even look like the same guys that they were. There's no way these guys are the same guys they had all dressed in the same clothes and everything that they were doing for this supposed little Of course, the news media is saying these guys are a spinoff, followers of the Proud Boys. The Proud Boys, this white supremacist group, the Proud Boys. These guys were followers of them, and they're like their own little private army, using military style tactics. Well, you probably got some military guys in there. That's the way they've been trained. But of course, they're FBI. That's why they're being. That's why they're using military style tactics. The whole thing is what they want to make it out to be is that there's these militias. They're trying to vilify militias again. They did this really well in the 90s. They really vilified these guys in the 90s. And it turns out, as we heard later, then of course there wasn't the people that we didn't have the kind of access we do now. Come to find out, that was basically an FBI infiltration type. They said it. They told us that, well, the FBI infiltrated the group, and that's how they discovered that these guys were bad. And the whole time is because there that incident with Tim McVeigh. I think Timothy McVeigh had possibly spent some time with the Michigan militia or whatever it was that was going on there. Vilified. The Michigan militia is one of the biggest ones in the country, at least the most popular anyway. But this is what they have to do. They have to vilify these groups. Now, if you know anything about the Oath Keepers, they've been around a long time. They're not a white supremacist group. The Proud Boys, as I understand it, need to do some background there as well. Look into that a little bit and see what you think. See if you think they're a white supremacist group. I really don't know much about them. I know that there are some other groups out there that avoid them, some other patriotic groups that avoid them. But I think, I don't know if it's because they have had experience with them or what's going on with them. I know that they're pretty radical. Now, they were recently, I think, out on the West Coast. I'm not sure if it was in California or not. I think it was in California. They saw in the paper that there was going to be a drag queen story hour at the library for kids. So a drag queen comes in, a man dressed as a woman, and not just dressed in drag. I mean, just it's like a totally made up, like pink hair and the wig and the makeup and all the whole thing, and a very provocative type clothing, in my opinion, very flashy, comes in and reads stories to kids, because they want them to understand this is normal. This is a normal thing. You know, the Proud Boys, I'll finish this story and I'll go on to something else here, hand in hand here. So the Proud Boys found out about this, or supposedly, I guess this is what happened. This group that they are saying is the Proud Boys, or maybe somebody that follows the Proud Boys, I don't know if it's the Proud Boys or not, officially. The Proud Boys isn't a real group, it's just an idea. So we have these guys come in, I guess there was like three or four of them. They came in to protest this thing. Because they didn't want it happening. I don't know if it was shut down or not. I think it possibly was. Police showed up and dispersed the situation. Then they did some investigating. Upon further investigation, we discovered this is possibly a hate crime. We may be prosecuting these people under hate crimes. Now, keep in mind, they didn't commit any other crime. They didn't commit any other crime. But the fact that they, well, the fact, I don't know if it's a fact. So it all depends on how you look at this. So I guess we're going to define what hate and what love is now legally. So these guys are going to be potentially prosecuted for hate crimes. Now, along with this story comes another story of a guy who posted some derogatory memes about George Floyd in a private chat area. He was arrested for that. He was arrested for posting derogatory memes about George Floyd. Arrested. And you want these people in charge of a disinformation board? Now, it used to be you could say whatever you wanted to, and you just faced the consequences of whatever that was with you could be called names for whatever you did and whatever you said, but you could still say it. And now, of course, this like people like Howard Stern, they were like the shock jocks that were out there they would come out, say shocking things, and now they're all of a sudden they're the moral standard. All of a sudden they're taking the high road. This is where we've come. This is what we've progressed to, folks. I was going to say something else about, I wish I would have just gone off on that tangent when I had a chance. I forgot, now I've forgotten what I was going to, you had a choice. Well, usually when I go down a tangent, it's usually I forget what I was talking about, or I forget to go down the other path that I was thinking about as well. So I miss that stuff. Kind of the whole point of the show. It's kind of the whole flow of the show, typically. I mean, for me, just one bunny trail to the next. Should call it the Bunny Trail Show. It's the Bunny Trail, according to me. It's the news, according to, hey, look at that bike. Hey, I got, so here's some headlines here on the subscription front here I've got on a YouTube channel. And there's nothing going on. So it's in the morning, it's always, especially the earlier I get up, it's all Sky News Australia. It's all I see. It's all I typically see. Yeah. In other news, I know what I was going to talk about. This is the Brandon Tatum thing. I never finished this thing. The Brandon Tatum story. So this guy, he was asking this lady, and she goes on and on. She goes, how are you so out of touch, or are you so deluded by this to think that he didn't do this? Well, so he brought up some points. Well, this other fellow jumps in, and the other fellow is obviously a black man. And she is taken back by this. At first she thinks this guy is on her side. And then when he starts speaking, she realizes he's a Trump supporter. She says, "You're a Trump supporter?" He goes, "You bet I am." He goes, this might have been on Dan Bongino, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, I don't think this was Brandon Tatum. I think this was actually Dan Bongino. Maybe Tatum had it on as well. But now that I'm thinking about this, I think it was actually on the radio. I think Bongino actually put this on. I apologize. I'm sorry if I got that. But I think Tatum had it on as well. It was a pretty good clip. This lady was like taken back by this, so shocked that a black person could be a Trump supporter. How does that happen? Well, here's how it happens, lady. Start realizing that Democrats are not for freedom. There wasn't a flip in the 60s. They're still the ones that see everything according to race. They're still the ones who want to give people special rights, not equal rights. Now think about all this stuff about Pride Month. Pride Month. If you don't go along with it, you are ostracized and sometimes vilified, and in some cases they're talking about booting people out of their position because they will not wear the ribbon. We're not at a point now where it used to be a point where they just wanted acceptance. Now, I remember Chuck Colson saying this back in the 80s. He said, first they will want acceptance. Then they will want normalization. There was another step in there. And ultimately they want recruitment. And at the very end, it was basically that normal, what we consider normal and healthy understanding of gender studies, back then will be the perversion. You're somehow not cool. You're somehow bland if you don't go along with this or have some kind of, oh, everybody, now, this is the big thing now, is everybody wants to be, what's the term they use? It's like, kind of like asexual or non-binary or fluid or whatever it is. Gender fluid. Now you're just confused. That's what you are. When we can't even define what a woman is, well, like I feel like a woman. Okay, well, what is a woman? Define what that feels like. How do you know, if you're a man, how do you know what a woman is? Or what a woman feels like? It's probably one of the best questions I think that Matt Welsh has ever asked. Well, how do you know what a woman feels like? Well, it's your ideal of what you think a woman feels like or what they should feel like. That's your trouble, what you're trying to portray. It's called dysphoria. Now that they're outright saying it, now I have gender dysphoria. Okay, well, that's a sickness, actually. It's a problem. It's a mental issue. It needs to be treated with counseling and stuff. Saying that you're a woman when you're not it's a problem. It's like saying you're an elephant when you're not.
Oh, no, that's not the same. Okay.
All right, whatever. But see, it goes beyond the acceptance. Now, here's the problem. And I actually said this back in the 90s. If people are going to say that they're born that way and therefore we have to accept it, well, a pedophile, or any one of the files, I guess pedophile is children below a certain age, and there's like two other designations of people, children under 18. And if you're one of those child molesters, you're attracted to children or a child of a certain age, well, you were born that way. And you should have, you should have the ability to just be that way, because we should accept you that way. Now, there are organizations out there. This is how perverted. People are not hiding this. There are organizations out there who are trying to get the age of consent down to, like, well, they would love to have it at like 3 or 4. Last I heard, I think it was MAMBLA, Man-Boy Association, or whatever it's called. I think they were trying to get the consensual age down to 8. I think it might have been moved down to 6. Because, you know, they were, that's just the way, that's normal for them. This is that they were, you know, that they were born that way. They can't, you know, who are we to say that there's a problem with them? Which, you know, this is borderline. I'm going down a road of the whole LGBTQ, whatever all the other stuff is. Stuff. And I probably, in days ahead, I'm going to probably delve into some of this and explain why this stuff is such it's very dangerous for a society, let's just put it that way, to go down this road. It goes, you know, when you talk about accepting the science and staying with the science, we have to have science here. Science. The science, the true scientific method and everything about science basically goes out the window with these people, because it's all about emotion and feeling and all this other stuff. And that's not science. It's very difficult to be emotionally involved in something you're trying to scientifically prove. It's just you can't do that. Now, there needs to be some emotion in what we do and how we respond to science. Huh. I think my water softener just kicked in. So I'm going to put a quasi cover over the door here. I still don't have my big, the big booth. I don't have my big booth set up in here yet. It will be doing, that will be happening today. It's been so hot outside. I haven't been able to do anything really much outside. Cleaning up the yard and doing that kind of thing that needs to be done. So I'm going to be bringing the booth in today. Doing all my work downstairs here that needs to be done. And the sound quality, I'm sure, will be improved dramatically. The problem with the whole sound quality thing is that the there's this thing called gain on a microphone, which kind of it's if you want to call it this, it just increases the sensitivity of the microphone. Now I've got my gain turned down quite a bit. I have to be right up on the mic pretty closely in order to pick up the nuance of my voice. And I don't know if you can tell, but when I speak, I have also something called a gate on the microphone, on the processor, on the channel. This gate will only allow sounds to come through at a certain level. So if it drops below a certain level in the loudness level, if you want to call it that, it will cut it out. So like if I stop talking for a second, it goes very quiet. However, when I am talking, you can probably hear something in the background, like the noise, the little bit of a water rushing through pipes. And you might be able to even hear the air conditioner in the background. I don't know if you can hear all that or not. But right as I stop talking, you hear a little, because you can kind of hear it in the background, and then but it's not loud enough to keep the gate from closing. And that's what's going on right now. That's how I keep it a fairly decent sound. However, right now, as I'm talking, I've got all this background noise that's coming in. It's allowed to come in along with my voice, which ruins the sound quality of the vocal. This is all technical jargon, I'm sure. Once in a while, if I brush my coat, you can kind of, it's just enough to open up the, well, the problem with having a booth that's really soundproof is I can put the microphone further away from me. Like I can, so you can tell the proximity effect. I'm standing back from the microphone now, about a foot and a half. It has more of a cell phone kind of sound to it. Whereas if I get up on it like this, it sounds more like you catch more of the nuance of my voice. There's a lot more bass in the voice. There's also some other frequencies as well, but it picks up more frequencies. I can turn up the gain to the point where I could be a foot away. I could be this far away. And it's still going to have that same, it's still going to sound like this in the booth. Now, the problem with that is it also picks up every little thing that your body does. If I just brush my shirt, you know, if I move my hands and I brush my shirt a little bit, or if my chair happens to creak a little bit, or if I scratch my ear, you'll be able to hear that. So again, there's some good and bad in that, because it can pick up all this other stuff going on. But I digress. But overall, the sound quality would be much better. I don't have to worry about... The biggest problem I have here is people walking around upstairs. If I'm here by myself at the house and nobody's around, it's not a bad thing. Even the dogs walking around upstairs can sometimes come through on the microphone to some degree. My floor is creaky enough, though, that when my wife is walking around upstairs, she, you know, the floor creaks. And, of course, she's running water, doing different things. I think she actually turned on the dishwasher now, which is, you know, that's just a whole other thing. So all this noise is going on, and that causes a lot of issues. So, anyway, having said all that, the whole January 6th thing, I guess they were going to have a meeting, but now it's been postponed till next Thursday to have another hearing. They just have so much they have to put together. There's so much they have to do. The truth is, they're trying to concoct all. How long has this study been going on? All these interviews. If there's evidence, if there's irrefutable, undeniable evidence on this case. See, what's weird about this case is you're only hearing one side. They're claiming that I even saw the other day, MSNBC had a headline. Jim Jordan is scared of the January 6th Commission. Well, Jim Jordan was supposed to be on the January 6th Commission. You guys are the ones that are scared of Jim Jordan. Why wouldn't you want to have Jim Jordan on there? Why were you scared of having him on there? Oh, he's scared of the January 6th Commission. I guess it was Banks. It was the other one. I guess Banks is from Indiana, I guess. I guess. I don't know. These two guys were supposed, that's who the Republican Party appointed to be on there. Now, I want to talk a little bit again about, I'm going to go down this alley because it, now I'm glad I thought about it, because I actually thought about this earlier. So, well, I need to talk about it on the show. But I hadn't gone. Boy, there's all kinds of noises happening down here now. Sounds like a blender somewhere. Probably is a blender, actually. See, the Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy, believe it or not, appointed Jim Jordan and Banks. I don't know what his bank name is. Let's see if I can find out his name. I hate not knowing somebody's name, calling by their last name. Indiana Banks Representative. Jim Banks, Representative Jim Banks from Indiana. I don't know what district he's in. Third congressional district. James Edward Banks. He's a young kid. Yeah, I think I'm about 17 years older than him. Columbia City, Indiana. Oh, there you go. He's got to be a good kid. He's born just south of, I guess that's where he was born. Or it's, yeah. I don't know where he lived, but yeah. Anyway, I grew up just north of there, a little town called Syracuse, Cromwell area. I grew up. I don't know if I ever grew up, first of all, and I was probably about 15 years old when we actually moved there. But yeah. So these two guys were supposed to be on the January 6th Commission, and Nancy Pelosi said, no, we don't want them on there. We're gonna decide who's gonna be on there. It's gonna be Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Now keep in mind, these are two people that hate Donald Trump with a vitriol. Gee, how convenient they would get picked. And of course, they got patted on the head the whole time they were on the commission. Oh, these are good Republicans. These are the way Republicans should work. They should kowtow to us, and they should be against all the stuff that the Republicans, they should call the Republicans bad. If you are vilified, if you do not accept the results of the election. Do you accept it? This is Bernie Sanders was trying to pin Lindsey Graham to the wall the other day by saying, "Tell me, do you accept the results of the election?" Well, you didn't accept the results of the election for 4 years. When Donald Trump got elected, the whole time you're saying it was the Russians, and it was never proven to be the Russians after several investigations, and yet you still promote that idea. Well, he was a racist. Okay. He was a racist. First of all, that's not a crime. Secondly, what did he do that was racist? Oh, he said some things. I'm going to go there. I had this relative. And their child one day in the back of our car said, Donald Trump's a racist. Okay, well, if you're going to make that statement, even as a child, even if you're a child, that's an adult statement to make. So guess what? We're going to have an adult conversation about it. My wife confronted her about it. Right away, Her father jumped in and basically ended the conversation with, well, he said some things early on in the campaign that were not, you know, that's what it's based on. End of discussion. Change the subject. No, this is a perfect opportunity for you to exactly say exactly what it was he said that was racist or what makes him racist. Let's have the discussion now instead of just continuing on with it. But that didn't happen. So there you go. Mark Meadows is actually Trump's, I think, chief advisor for a while. So we have Kevin McCarthy, for example. Now Kevin McCarthy is sharing a home. It's not like he's living in. They used to have the same kitchen. I don't think it's that way. But it's like there's like a home that's like got like an apartment in it of some kind, or maybe he's just using a room there. I don't know what's going on with. Is it Blunt? I think the guy's name. Let's see if I can find it here real quick. McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy. Luntz. Luntz is his name. Luntz. Yeah. Frank Luntz, Kevin McCarthy. They're sharing a home, an apartment type thing. Now, keep in mind, I understand housing costs around D.C. area are ridiculously high because, you know, Democrats run that. It's a government-run thing. That the whole city is not part of the U.S. United States. It's federally owned. They have different laws there than they have here. Now, some of these people are claiming that they're rooming together. They're not really rooming together, as I understand it. Now, I've lived in crash pads before, okay? And you don't have any control over what, you know, one person says or the other person says or does or whatever. You don't have all that kind of... It just happens. I've had... Back when I was an airline pilot, I had a crash pad back in the... in 2000, whatever it was, two or three, whatever it was, in Chicago. And it was just, you know, you're renting. One guy usually owns the place or rents the place, and then he sub-rents it out to like 10 other guys who are there maybe 3 days a month or something, 3 or 4 days a month. Unless you're on reserve, then you're there like 15 days a month, unless they're calling you out all the time. So you can be there, even though there's 10 guys living there, you can be there for 2 days and not see anybody. Or you can be there one night and everybody's there. You just never know. It's random. They're probably sharing this apartment. Now, the question is, how did you get so close to Frank Luntz? Now, Frank Luntz is a leftist, folks. He is a leftist. He's a very sneaky, conniving individual. He does all these polls and stuff. He sets these focus groups up, and he's as left as... I don't know how you can not see this unless you're Kevin McCarthy, apparently. Now, here's the problem with this. In this day and age, are you going to tell me that Kevin McCarthy on his phone, talking on his phone there in his apartment where Frank Luntz is and has access to, he doesn't have some kind of recording device or video surveillance or anything else going on in his apartment? I guarantee you he is privy to some information that you and I would not be privy to. And he has direct channels to the DNC. That is the Democrat National Committee. Not Democratic, the Democrat National Committee. There's nothing Democratic about them. So, think about that for a moment. Really, you think that Kevin McCarthy, I'm sure that Frank Luntz wouldn't do that. Yeah, whatever. Keep in mind the main principle by which these people live is the end justifies the means. If they can get Donald Trump out of office, they don't care how it is. They don't care how it works. They'll spend money on a phony dossier. They will promote that idea. They will get an investigation going. They will get a January 6th commission going forever and ever and bring all these people. They're arresting people who won't appear to a phony commission. These people are spending, you know, like with Peter Navarro, he said, well, it's going to cost me $100,000 to do this, to defend himself. That's why he's not getting a lawyer. I'm surprised nobody has stepped up to go pro bono on this guy. Now, I don't know that I would. There are some lawyers out there that I like, but there's a couple of them that have done some pro bono work, and I'm like, I don't know about you people. I think you're just out there to get a name for yourself. Some of them have turned out to be some kind of wackadoodles a little bit. I think it was the fellow from Oshkosh, not Oshkosh, Kenosha. I'm pretty sure that his lawyer took him for some quite a bit of money, actually. Let's see if I can find this. Is it Kyle Rittenhouse? Who was? Kyle Rittenhouse. That's what I said to it was. His lawyer. Let's see if I can find it. Kyle Rittenhouse reveals as his lawyer. Yeah, it doesn't say what his name is. He was a wackadoodle. I'm sorry. The guy, he came across like he was all this, you know. I don't see it now. Yeah, I don't see the name of his lawyer anywhere. His attorney, John Pierce, maybe. Yeah, it may have been John. That name doesn't ring a bell for some reason. I was thinking it was some other guy. But now we'll find out. Anyway, he kind of took a bunch of the money that came in for his legal defense. Basically, the guy walked off with the money, and yeah, it was. He kind of got a double whammy there until he got a different lawyer. So that's what we got going on here, folks. We got Kevin McCarthy. You know, if you don't think that the left is getting fed information by, you know, oh, Kevin's here now, Kevin's gone, Kevin's on the phone, Kevin's, you know, he's doing this, he's doing that. And if you don't think there's a listening device in his room, I'm sorry, that's, you're just being naive. They're just too small and too easy to do now. Now, having said all of that, I would like to say this. This evening, I had some business I had to take care of last night. This evening, it looks as if there will actually be, and I'm going to actually say that there's actually probably going to be, it's definitively probable and plausible that there will be some kind of a live show this evening. Now, the live show may be something as simple as just an audio live show, or it could literally be something as amazing as a video show on Rumble. I'm going to try to do the Rumble thing again. Rumble has been a little bit clumsy in terms of trying to get the thing online. We'll see how this goes. I might even try to do a live broadcast on YouTube. Now, my YouTube channel is called TNA, the number 2, ME. So it's TNA to me, all one word, the letter T N-A, number 2, M-E on YouTube. If you go there, you'll find some of my, I don't know if you'll see any of my back. Let's see if I got any, I don't know, they probably pulled all of my videos off. My videos, let's see what they have on here. There's only 3 videos on here. I think I did at least 100 videos, at least. And there's 3 videos on here now. Hundred percent likes. I had 2 likes. Yeah. And yeah. And even these had a bunch of the views taken off. Holy cow. 7 views, 5 views. So this one has 5 views. The other one has 16. And these were all done, 2018, 2020, and 2021. This one, August of 2018, December 17th of 2020, and January 23rd of 21. Wow. Wow, wow. Where are all the other videos and what happened to all the listeners? And of course, I don't have any subscribers anymore. I had subscribers. Now there are some live videos still on here, it looks like. Some of these are 2020, 2021. Oh, there's a couple old live videos on there. Interesting. Up until 2021, and then they're all gone after that. June of 2021. Everything else is 2020, 2018, 2017, all the way back to, oh, they have some on here till, yeah, 2017 is the, well, at least it's all during the Trump era. But I was doing stuff way before Trump. I was doing stuff back in the Obama days, well before the election. But I should erase some of these. But the views have gone. Holy cow! Where did all the views go? See, I've got this one on here that has 1,400 views, and then I've got all these others that are like below 10. Everything's below 10 now. Oh, there's a couple with 13, 17, 13. But most of them are below 10. One of them has 0. What? How does that happen? Now, this is during a time when I had quite a few subscribers. My subscribers are all gone now. Let me see if I can find those as well. It doesn't matter. I know this is all just, I'm just navel gazing right now. You don't really care about all this stuff, but interesting. Can't go back to my subscriptions. Where'd that go? Oh, well. Just go back to my channel. Your channel. There we go. No, that's not what I wanted to do either. I want to go back to videos. Subscriptions. There we go. Subscriptions. Okay. All right. So maybe it's, I guess DeSantis is in hot water now with the left because he's told some kind of joke now that people don't like him. No, just with the leftists. He's just making their heads pop off. Elon Musk, by the way, has made some comments like as if he's possibly going to be potentially voting for DeSantis. DeSantis is in the running for Elon Musk. If you care about, you know, Elon Musk, I don't know if that makes a difference. But I don't know. I'm kind of torn about the whole thing with DeSantis because Florida needs a good governor. And if you take away a good governor to make him president, now who do you put in his place? Pence was a good governor for Indiana. He was in a good place there. Having him run for president, if DeSantis runs up against, if this goes up against in a primary, if DeSantis goes up against Pence, Pence has like 1% of the vote maybe. And that's questionable. So we'll talk about that kind of stuff later, but we'll go into the live broadcast. Now you understand, one of the things that I don't think people understand about this show, and I'll talk about it more later. I don't have notes really. Sometimes I'll have a few things jotted down subjects that I want to talk about. I'm pretty much just a rambling guy. I come out here, I just open up my brain and let it spill out. Sounds really good, doesn't it? So I just kind of open up what's on my head and I just kind of, you know, talk about it. And I don't even come up with a title for the show until after I have done the show because I don't know what the show's going to be about. I have no clue. I'm clueless. And sometimes I don't remember what I've talked about. So I still make the title. So that's, I'm just going to make the title up with what I think I could talk about. Yeah. I don't even remember what I talked about today. I talked about a few things I probably will put in the title. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But that's how it goes for me. That's how the show rolls. So keep that in mind as you're listening to this. It's just all fresh material coming out of the, coming out. And sometimes that's why sometimes it's a dead show with just baloney. Or I tell stories and I don't know where I'm going with that. It has nothing to do with anything. And other times it's good content with, relative pertinent information that's good for your soul. One in a thousand of them. And I haven't done 1,000 shows yet, so that one still has yet to be done. I think we're on episode 383, maybe, something like that. I don't know. Where are we? Let's take a look here, Bob. Let's look at it. This is episode 383. So welcome aboard. If you haven't never listened before. My music's coming in louder and louder. It starts to drown me out at the end. That's how I know I'm trying to finish the show. Hey, music's getting loud. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. Have a great day. We'll see you tonight.